Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Freedom's Way message tonight. If anyone has opened this message, if you have opened this message as a podcast or from our website, we'd like for you to understand this is a live teleconference meeting, and there will be people dialing in from all across the country. So we'll start in about 3 to 5 minutes, just to give them a chance to get here. And any time you would like to join Freedom's Way on our teleconference meetings, they're held every Monday and Friday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-pound. You can also go online to Freedom. Lots of women. FreedomWayMinistries.com for more information about us. If you would like to say hello, now is a good time to do that before I mute your telephone.
Steve and Cindy.
Hi, Steve and Cindy. Welcome.
This is Judy.
Hey, Judy.
Keep my husband still in prayer.
Okay.
He's still fighting that COVID.
Hi, Annette.
Hi, Vicki. It's Claudia.
Welcome.
Hi, Miss Vicki. I made it too. Old Mitch out here. Thank you for being there for us.
Hey,
everybody. Hello, everyone.
Hello,
hello. Hello, hello.
Hi, Linda.
Hello.
Hi, Linda. We're echoing, aren't we?
We're echoing, aren't we?
Yeah, somebody's on the left.
Hello, it's Annette.
All right, welcome.
I'm on the star sixes.
Okay.
Hello, it's Marcia. Hello, it's Marcia.
I'm not sure.
I'm Marcia. I'm going to go ahead and mute the phones. Okay, so that we don't have an echo, if you would like to say hello, you can push your star six key if I did not catch your hello.
Vicki?
Well, yes.
Keep Helen in prayer. She's got pneumonia in her one lung. And she's
okay.
All by herself. So please, please keep her in prayer.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else want to say hello? If not, Judy, if you muted your phone, then everyone is muted.
Hello.
So, hi, Linda.
Hi, thank you.
Gotcha. Okay, if everyone will make sure your phone is muted, please. Then we will get started.
Good evening and welcome. This is Phil Burdett here. I'm here with my wife, Vicki. We are Freedom's Way Ministries. Our mission is to help you come into your full, true identity in Christ to be all that God has designed you to be from the beginning. And anything we can do to help you achieve that goal, which includes the benefits of kingdom authority, kingdom power, and God's favor, we are here to help. So anything we can do Feel free to call us at any time. We have a great and powerful message this evening. Buckle your seatbelt. You will enjoy it. We dig deep in these messages, so you will be blessed. I will go ahead and pray us in, get us started. Father God, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us, guiding us and leading us into all truth. Thank you, Lord. It is your will that we prosper, be in health, and be empowered with your kingdom authority. So we thank you that you're leading us that way, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, I turn aside any assignment from hell that would try to blunt or cause this message not to have the impact that God would have it make. So thank you, Lord, that you're with us. And we just say, Holy Spirit, have your way tonight in this message and accomplish your purposes in your people. Bless them mightily. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All righty then. We started a little mini-series last week on relationships, developing godly relationships, because God is a relational God. This is part two. It's titled Resolving Relational Conflict, something we all need to know how to do. This is the time of year when relationships tend to undergo a lot of strain. Families get together with their different outlooks, personalities, interdynamics, and it can become a dread rather than a joy to celebrate the season. There always seems to be that one difficult person in the group, and we all tend to forget that we might be that one to someone else. Last time, we saw that if we're going to be involved with God, we will have to be involved in relationships with others. The way that the world is going to believe that Jesus came and is alive is because we come into unity and show love for each other. God wants us in agreement with Him and honoring each other in our relationships. Satan wants us to disagree with God and to dishonor each other. We also discovered three elements which in combination are unstoppable when people want to accomplish something. And they are commitment to a common purpose, unity of spirit, and an effective communication system. However, it only takes a breakdown of communication to effectively void the other two elements of what could have been a successful venture. The enemy knows all he has to do to destroy relationship is break down communication. The best way he has to do this is to keep people focused on topical issues in conversations and blinded to the relational messages which lie between and beneath the words. It's another deeper level. In other words, Satan has set up a system to bring division and damage through relational false identity messages as we communicate with each other. Once we're trained to react out of past hurts and unmet needs, rather than to respond out of love for God and His people, it's a simple thing for the devil to just drop in once in a while to oil the mechanism of failure to communicate. We can self-destruct without any more intrusion from the enemy. Selfless Lord.
Amen. It's true. We studied the process of communication, and we learned the difference between topical and relational messages. The topical issue is very seldom the real message in a conversation. There's a deeper and more meaningful underlying message, and it has to do with identity. Both God and the devil will use human agents to convey their message of identity to us. Our job is to recognize which message is true and which is false, and not fall victim to being used in a scheme of the enemy to cause another person to feel worthless or devalued. Also, when others are in that place of being used by the devil in this scheme, then our job is to recognize and reject the false identity message, receive the true identity message from God, and immediately forgive those people who are being used by the enemy. We also spoke about honor, and that's what we're going to take up now. To honor someone is to convey a message of value and respect. To dishonor someone is to convey a message of worthlessness and disrespect. The definition of honor we use came from Gary Smalley. A decision I make to place high value, worth, and importance on another person by viewing him or her as a priceless gift and granting him or her a position in my life worthy of great respect. God is all about honoring people and having us honor each other. If a business honors a particular credit card, they're saying, we accept this card, we receive it, and consider it valid and legitimate. When we honor another person, we say the same thing. But when we dishonor or disrespect another person, we're sending them the relational message, I do not accept you, I do not receive you. I do not consider you valid or legitimate.
Amen. We've forgotten that they are priceless gifts. The Bible has a lot to say about honor. Last week, we looked at the scripture that instructs men to honor their wives, lest your prayers be hindered. And now, we're going to explore this thing called honor a little bit closer and see how it plays in to resolving relational conflict. In Romans 12, verses 9 and 10, it says this, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Although we're told here in Romans to be kindly affectioned toward one another with brotherly love, we have observed that brotherly love isn't. It isn't kind affection, and it isn't love, at least not the way God wants it to be. Many siblings are, at worst, totally cold and calculatingly wicked to each other, and at best, somewhat civil. I know that's none of you, of course. But that was not God's intention, and it makes the devil pretty pleased with himself. The key to God's heart in this passage in Romans is the word honor, in honor, preferring one another, stepping aside and putting the other person first, and doing it with joy and not grumbling and complaint or anger and resentment. Communication is vital in relationships, and honor is vital in communication.
Amen.
Amen. Satan uses us to communicate his message that we are worthless and unloved. We must stand steadfast in the truth of God's word to us and his heart toward us to prevent our heart from being wounded and damaged. The heart is a very delicate instrument of our identity. It is it is the receiver through which we absorb identity messages. These are the messages that enforce or break down value in our lives. The heart receives a message and tells us if we are honored or dishonored, considered acceptable and valid or unacceptable and invalid. Some of you may have a satellite dish that brings you the world's communication by way of television. If the dish is damaged, you won't receive a clear sound or picture. And if it isn't pointed in the right direction, you may receive something you don't want instead of what you desire to hear or see. If the dish needs adjusting, you just can't take a sledgehammer to it and whack it back into its proper place. You could actually permanently damage and possibly destroy the ability of that satellite dish to receive anything at all. You know, our hearts are like that. When we convey relational messages of dishonor to those around us, it's like taking a sledgehammer to their hearts.
Help us, Lord.
The devil wants us to invalidate each other's personhood or personage or whatever that word is. That is our inmost being that defines our identity. That's your personhood. The scheme that the devil uses most effectively in this is to have us send those messages of dishonor and disrespect, all the while keeping us blinded to what we're doing. We must learn to separate a person's identity from the person's behavior so that we can stop attacking their personhood. We have to deal with behavior without destroying identity and devaluing the person. Most of us have a hard time separating identity and behavior. The who from the do, so to speak. So when a person does wrong, we make them feel worthless. But that is not the gospel message. Because you make a mistake doesn't make you a mistake. And we should give that same grace to those around us. Romans 5, verse 8 says, "But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Woo, hallelujah. The gospel message is this. When you do right, I love you and you're valuable. And when you do wrong, I love you and you're valuable. In God's opinion, value and love don't change based on whether or not we do right or we do wrong. He loves us and values us whether we're doing right or whether we're doing wrong. My wrong actions and attitudes do not change God. They might open me up to some stuff I really don't want in my life, but they don't cause God to become unrighteous or unloving toward me.
Thank you, Lord.
Separating a person's behavior from his identity, the do from the who, is one way we can disarm the schemes of the enemy. Hallelujah. When a person has a relational position in our lives, whether it's a spouse, a relative, coworker, friend, business associate, fellow church member, whatever, the person's performance does not change his or her relational position. Neither should their behaviors dictate whether or not they are honored by us.
Wow. Say that.
Neither should their behaviors dictate whether or not they are honored by us. Performance-based relationships damage the spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's
Performance-based relationships take a sledgehammer to a person's heart. Honor is conveyed on the basis of who the person is to us, not what the person says or does to us. Unfortunately, many people feel justified in dishonoring another because of what that one did to them at some time in the past.
Okay.
And it's easy to fall into. It's time to ask some pointed questions. Are things going well in your life? Are you enjoying good health that speaks of a long life to come? Have you inherited the promise God gave you and walking in the land he gave you? And if not, then why not? Well, here might be one of the reasons. In Exodus 20 and 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord gives you. Deuteronomy 5 and 16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord gives you.
Amen.
Amen. If you were not able to answer yes, things are going well in my life, I am enjoying good health, I expect to live a long time on the earth, yes, I'm enjoying the inheritance God means for me to have, then perhaps you are one who has in the past or is even now dishonoring your parents and have not repented for that. Maybe you felt justified because they were lousy parents or abusive or alcoholic, or they brought pain and shame into your life and dozens of other abominable and demonic things. But these verses don't give us the option of dishonor in certain cases, but honor in others. We are to honor our parents based on the fact that they are our parents, not on the basis of fact that they were good parents. After 20 years in personal ministry to God's people, I assure you, there is nothing you could tell me about your father or your mother that I haven't heard. And I assure you, God can break the traumas of your childhood and heal your hurts. No one of us has the right to dishonor another.
Feeling convicted yet?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Families have fallen victim to a cycle of dishonor because parents don't separate the person from the performance.
That's one reason.
Parents tear down the identity of their children by causing them to feel shame and worthlessness when they are disciplined. Many parents attack the identity of their children rather than dealing with behavioral issues. When parents discipline through shame and dishonor, it hardens a child's heart. And at some point, the child will cut off the parent. Others may attack the child's identity through physical or sexual abuse, through neglect, rejection, and abandonment, and a number of other patterns set up by hell for the purpose of establishing false identity. You know, the heart can only take so much abuse from the sledgehammer before it breaks and is incapable of truly receiving.
And, you know, I want to interject here. This kind of neglect and abuse can set up disassociative behaviors and that state of people just being emotionless and not able to feel.
Yeah, it seems that way in the world today more and more. This whole generation seems to be affected by that, unfortunately. We got a big job to do.
We are sick people.
Well, we got a big job to do, and we have to just be at it. You know, be at our Father's business, like Jesus said. Because of that, most people grow up and they carry their broken hearts into adulthood. The son or daughter's heart has become fractured shards of hardness because of the parents' dishonor of them. Then they then can become rebellious and begin to dishonor the parent. Even themselves, dishonor themselves to get back at the parent.
So we're ministering with a family right now whose teenage children are very rebellious against their parents because they never felt the honor from their father.
That's true. You know, that cycle can continue when the child marries and a son or daughter who was dishonored will be unable to honor his or her spouse. That then flows down to their children, and the cycle of dishonor is perpetuated. This scheme was set up by hell, but once it's in motion, it takes very little attention from the devil to keep it going.
That's so true. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, that honor your parents stuff is old covenant. I'm free from Old Testament law. Hallelujah. Christ set us free from the law. Now, that is a truth, but it's not the truth. Christ didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it, as you recall. But we're not even talking about law. We're talking about God's principles, basic principles of life. Jesus himself reinforced the truth of this particular principle in Matthew 15, verse 4. Jesus said, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death." Now, honoring your parents is a principle set up by God. It is not a legalistic edict. God commanded. That means he set it in motion. That is what that word command means. It means to set in motion something. A principle is a description of how life works. And a principle, like its creator, is no respecter of persons. The law of gravity is a principle, for example. Step off the cliff and try to negotiate with God about the principle known as the law of gravity. Hey, God, did you forget? I'm not under the law anymore. Wrong answer. Thank you for playing.
Splat. You know, the fall doesn't hurt, but that sudden stop at the bottom could be good.
So guess what? The principle of honoring your parents works the same way as the principle of the law of gravity and other principles set up by God. There is cause and effect. There are consequences to our actions. There are consequences to our actions. If you want to live a good long life and do well in it, enjoying the land and your inheritance, then you must honor your parents. If you have dishonored your parents and not repented, understand that you made a decision to shorten your life and ensure it will not go well with you.
Wow. Made a decision not to have a good life.
That's right. Ooh. You may not have thought you were doing that, but, you know, and again, you know, do you feel the conviction? We're all guilty somewhere in this, so we all need to repent. Maybe you didn't realize that's what you did. Dishonoring your parents violates a principle and the result is similar to stepping off a cliff and violating the law of gravity. Gravity doesn't even notice it's been violated. It just takes you down. There are other principles concerning honor in Scripture also, and they speak of cause and effect, just as this one does. For example, if a husband dishonors his wife, he has made the decision to have an ineffective prayer life. Uh-oh. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It says that in 1 Peter 3:7.
Wow. If we dishonor God through disobedience, we make the decision that we don't want God to honor us. 1 Samuel 2:30. Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. If we dishonor God by withholding our tithe, we make the decision to have an empty barn. Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Wow. Need to make right decisions.
Amen. Proverbs is filled with useful information about honor. It tells us honor brings life. Honor is linked with wisdom and graciousness and righteousness. It is a reward of humility. Honor is something not enjoyed by fools, and the humble are upheld by honor. There's certainly a lot to be said about honor. Honoring others is primarily done in the attitudes of our conversations, not just in our actions. So let's go back to the family cycle of honor or dishonor. Many persons have no idea how to discipline their children and still honor them, but we must learn to honor the person even when we cannot accept the behavior. It's a matter of separation, separating the person from the thing the person did. Failing to separate identity from behavior will always lead to rebellion.
That is true.
Can a parent honor a rebellious child? Well, absolutely so. It's a lie of the devil that if we honor them, we're condoning their behavior. Let's recognize the difference between honor and reward. Honor does not mean reward. Reward is topical. Honor is relational. We can remove privileges from a child and still honor that child. We can bring discipline and correction to a child without tearing down his identity or his sense of value. Discipline should never convey a devaluing message. You are worthless because of what you did. That kind of relational message comes out of our training from hell. It's the devil's message that we and others are only valuable when we do the right thing. Discipline the behavior, honor the person. Convey the message, you are acceptable, but your behavior is not acceptable.
Amen.
Amen. You know, we knew a couple who used the technique of removing the door from their teenage son's room. The kid had locked his door and refused to open it when his dad and mom wanted to talk to him. So the next day, the father said, "Son, here's the deal. We're going to do a new thing. I'm not going to yell at you anymore, and I apologize for the way I yelled at you and threatened you yesterday. I probably made you feel as if I don't care about you or your feelings, and that's not true. I love you, and I'm glad you're my son. At the same time, it's important that when your mom or I want to talk to you, that you let us come into your room, or you can come out to us. If you do that, you'll get to keep the privileges you enjoy about your room. If you don't, you'll lose some of the privileges that you enjoy about your room. It will be your decision." And the son responded with, "Yeah, whatever," and left for school. That night, he again locked his door, cranked up his music way too loud, and he wouldn't open his door. Now, Dad didn't yell or scream or threaten or bang on the door. The next day, the dad didn't say anything about the incident. He just blessed his son with a good day at school. But when the boy came home, there was no longer a door on his room. When he complained, the dad said, "Well, son, having a door on your room is a privilege. It's not a right. We talked about how you could keep the privileges you enjoy about your room. I'm sorry that you decided to give up those privileges, but I sure do love you, son."
Very good. Every one of us has a need to feel valued. Men and women view value differently. Generally speaking, men find value in what they do. Husbands need to be found competent and adequate. This is what is considered by most men to be significant. Here's a quote from a book called The Marriage Builder, which defines how most men view value. "As a realization that I am engaged in a responsibility or a job that is truly important, whose results will not evaporate with time but will last throughout eternity, that fundamentally involves having a meaningful impact on another person, a job for which I am completely adequate." Now, for the wives, women find their value in security. Most women consider themselves value if they're a high priority to another person. Here's the book's definition of how most women view value: a convinced awareness of being totally and unconditionally loved without needing to change in order to win love. Loved by a love that is freely given and cannot be earned, therefore it cannot be lost. So husbands want to feel adequate and competent, while wives want to feel loved and secure. Therefore, the devil's false identity message to husbands will be, "You can't do anything right," and to wives, the message will be, "You're not important."
Huh.
This stuff is easy to fall into. How are these devaluing messages conveyed? There are many ways, but here are some common ones women fall into toward their husbands: withholding sex, outbursts of anger, adultery, criticism and complaining, comparing their husbands with other men, especially old boyfriends or former husbands. And let me add that if the former lover or husband is dead, the current husband can never compete with the memory.
Okay.
Making the husband the intense focus of her attention. This is idolatry, making him a god. Making children a god, holding on to unforgiveness. All these things dishonor and devalue the husband.
Well, there are others, but those are the main ones. And then common ways that husbands fall into devaluing their wives include giving her no access to his heart. not sharing feelings, sexually violating her before marriage. Now, to some people, this may seem silly, even if they're both consenting, and most especially if she's the one who initiated the encounter. Now, in today's society, it's not only considered normal, but maybe even expected that people who intend to marry move in together first. However, if a man has sexual relationship with a woman before they're married, he sends her the message, you're not worth waiting for. So if any of you have done that, you need to repent. Ask forgiveness of each other. Other ways that husbands devalue wives are being sexually insensitive, criticism, making career or ministry more important, outburst of anger, adultery, physical violence, not showing physical affection, pride, in other words, not sharing a need, and denying you have a need.
That's right. There is some practical information we'd like to share that can help you eliminate the schemes of the devil to destroy your relationships. And as we learn these things, we do that affect our loved ones adversely, we can work harder to stop doing these things. Relational conflict is going to happen. That's a given. Jesus said offense is a part of the world, but we don't have to participate. And in Matthew 18:7, he says, woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. In this verse, Jesus said three things. There is sadness, woe in the world because people are offended. There will always be something coming at us that will bring an opportunity to be offended. And lastly, none of us should ever allow ourselves to be the cause of an offense to another, lest we be overcome with a woe or by the woe to the best of our ability. Even though there may be relational conflict in our lives, we can deal with it and successfully overcome it by remembering these few simple actions.
You know, we really like to give you some practical things, not just tell you what's wrong, but what you can do to come out of them. So that's what we're doing now. First of all, ask the Lord to make you sensitive to discern when you've hurt someone. Lots of times we can go around bashing each other's hearts without even realizing that we're doing that. We need Holy Spirit discernment and awareness that is deeper than the surface level, the topical stuff. When your spouse says there's nothing wrong and he or she is okay, ask God if that's really true. You can bet if there has been an outburst of anger, if there has been a change in tone of voice, if there is a painful expression that comes across the other person's face, there's probably a hurt there. And likely, it resulted from a relational identity message that you didn't mean to send.
Second, if you've been hurt, go to God for comfort and truth. Get your heart healed before you try to forgive the other person. So when you receive healing, then forgive the one who brought the offense. Don't argue or attempt to justify yourself, what you did or what you said. Ask. Let me slow down on that one.
Yeah.
Don't argue or attempt to justify yourself, what you did or what you said. Ask yourself, have I let the devil answer, who am I, instead of turning to you, Lord? We'll talk about this a little more next week. Well, next, when you discern the other person is hurt, don't evaluate whether or not he or she should be hurt.
That's hard, yeah. Well, I was snowy. Why are you upset about Bob?
You have heard that before. The hurt is real whether you think it's valid or not. Just ask God a couple of things. How have I wounded this person, Lord? Have I been used by the enemy to convey a lack of value or a sense of worthlessness to this person? And the big one, Lord, will you show me the feelings inside this person's heart? How did I make him or her feel? When you get God's answers, you'll be able to deal on the relational level instead of the topical level. Hallelujah. So fourth, when you get the answer from God as to how you make the person feel, verify it. Ask him or her, did I make you feel dot, dot, dot?
Question mark?
Question mark, question mark, question mark. So when the feeling is verified, and it will be, because now you're dealing on the level of the heart and not the head. So when that feeling is verified, there are a few don'ts to remember and follow. First of all, don't explain or defend yourself, your words, or your actions. Simply apologize. And don't apologize tritely. You have to be sincere and not make light of it. You should never say, well, I'm sorry, but it's such a silly thing for you to be upset about. Or, I'm sorry, but you should know I don't mean anything by that. Or, I'm sorry, but my goodness, it doesn't really matter. And especially not, I'm sorry, but I wouldn't have said that if you hadn't blah, blah, blah. You know, those kinds of pseudo-apologies, they just send another dishonoring message. Don't attack the other person by telling them they were wrong to be upset, that they shouldn't have been offended, that their feelings are stupid, or they're inconsiderate of you because they were hurt. Don't give advice and don't give correction. I think you should stop being so sensitive. Or, well, if you're just such and such, or maybe you need to think more about how other people feel. Stop focusing on yourself. Or even, you ought to think the way I do.
I can imagine some of you are saying, ouch.
Ouch.
Ouch. Next, repent and ask forgiveness. Again, this should be heartfelt and not a light repentance. Convey that you understand the feeling of the other person's heart and how you hurt them. Convey that you are grieved that you hurt them. Convey that you're going to use your very best effort not to wound them in the future. When you can express these three things, you can see how they feel and how you wounded them.
That's the first thing.
Yeah.
You can see how they feel.
Amen. And how you wounded them. You're truly sorry you did that, and you'll do everything possible not to do it again. Then it will be impossible for the other person not to forgive you. Yeah. Conveying this message of honor and value will touch and heal their hearts. And finally, bless and honor the other person. Speak a blessing to them. This is not telling them how wonderful they are or naming off their best attributes, although it never hurts to do that. Speaking a blessing means voicing the good things you want the person to have. I bless you with peace and prosperity and love and on, whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to say. As we learn to give preference to others, conveying value to them independent of their actions, we will find relational conflicts are easily and quickly resolved. The schemes of the devil will cease to operate in our lives because we recognize and reject them. So praise the Lord. Let's pray.
Amen. Hallelujah. And before we do, I just wanted to say, that's so important what you just said, Phil. When we convey value to the other person independent of their action, it really diffuses all relational conflict. So I invite all of you who want to seal this word in your hearts and begin to come out from this assignment of hell and break the pattern. Break that pattern of dishonor and disrespect. Then pray this prayer with me and pray it out loud. Father God, thank you so much for this practical lesson.
Thank you so much for this practical lesson.
In conveying honor and resolving relational conflict. Forgive me, Lord, for dishonoring my parents.
Forgive me, Lord.
I repent to you for allowing the devil to harden my heart, because of the way I was treated. Because of the way I was made to feel devalued.
Because of the way I was made to feel devalued.
Inadequate.
Inadequate.
Or because of the cycle of dishonor.
Because of the cycle of dishonor.
That has been running in my family.
It's been running in my family.
Pardon me. Yes, you can tell there was one. Oh, Father, I ask. That you break the cycle of dishonor.
Break the cycle of dishonor.
So that my children and grandchildren will be able to establish a cycle of honor.
Establish a cycle of honor.
In the generations to come. Forgive me, Father.
Forgive me, Father.
For dishonoring you.
Dishonor.
Through disobedience.
Disobedience.
And rebellion.
Rebellion.
Forgive me for dishonoring you.
Forgive me for dishonoring you.
By withholding my tithe. I ask to be forgiven.
Ask to be forgiven.
And I ask that the curse be broken. I forgive my ancestors.
Forgive my ancestors.
For opening the door to dishonor.
For opening the door to dishonor.
I break agreement with disobedience and rebellion.
Break agreement, disobedience, and rebellion.
And any spirit of fear or resentment.
Any spirit of fear or resentment
associated with tithing.
Associated with tithing.
I repent to you, Lord, for dishonoring and devaluing others.
Dishonoring and devaluing others.
Because of their actions and attitudes.
Their actions and attitudes.
I repent for sending messages of shame and reproach.
Sending messages of shame or reproach.
That affected their identity.
Their identity.
Help me separate the person.
Help me separate the person.
From the thing the person did.
Thing the person did.
To separate identity from behavior.
Separate identity from behavior.
So that I can help correct the behavior.
So that I can correct the behavior.
Of those with whom I have authority.
Whom I have authority
and responsibility. And help me bring that correction, without damaging their hearts, or sending a false identity message of dishonor.
False identity message of dishonor.
Help me to always show respect.
Help me to always show respect
and kind affection to others.
To others.
Preferring them over myself. at all times. When I find myself in relational conflict, help me be sensitive to discern how I've hurt the other person. Help me come to you for comfort so that my heart will be healed and I can ask for forgiveness with a pure heart.
Forgiveness with a pure heart.
Father, keep me from judging whether or not they should be hurt. Show me the feeling of their heart.
Feeling of their heart.
So that I can touch their heart.
Touch their heart.
And convey honor and blessing on them.
Honor.
I love you, Lord. I need you to be at the center of every relationship in my life.
Be at the center of every relationship in my life.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord God.
For honoring me.
Honoring.
As I honor others. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. I just take the sword of the Spirit of God and I sever generational cords of iniquity and evil soul ties that have held any pattern of dishonor and respect in you or your generations. I cut through those completely. I send back in the Spirit every ungodly thing that attached itself to you. I take back for you every godly thing you are meant to have. I speak to disobedience, rebellion, fear, and resentment. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I cast you out. I send you into the pit that burning coals fall on you and you cannot rise again. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you fill your people now where there was disobedience and rebellion, that you fill them, Lord, with your humility that promotes your humility, that clothes us with a cloak of invisibility in the spirit realm that cannot take offense. Lord, where there was fear and resentment, fill us with your love and your peace, your purity and your power. That, Lord, we are your vessels of blessing to convey honor and blessing as we have received it from you, to give the same grace to others that you gave to us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. If you have a comment or a question, you can push the *6 keys on your telephone keypad. That will unmute your phone and you will be heard. *6. Wow.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hello. Oh, hey. Hi. Hi, Miss Vicki. This is Kyle.
Yes, sir.
Oh, no, I was saying it was really powerful. That's all.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, it was very powerful. Yeah.
Oh, good. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you.
How do I mute this again?
Star 6.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to go ahead and just go to bed. Thank you so much. That was really
okay.
Powerful.
Praise the Lord.
Bye.
Anybody else got something to say tonight?
Hey, Vicki, this is Queen. I agree with whoever just spoke. Very powerful. It was a great teaching. Thank you to you and Phil for allowing God to use you. I'm just so thankful for these teachings.
God bless you. Thank you, Queen. God
Thank
is
you.
Good.
So good.
God is good. So good. Amen. You know, this is one of those messages that you can hear over and over again, just as a reminder, because we live in the world. And, you know, we have to deal with different personalities and different outlooks and viewpoints. And it can be challenging to navigate relationships. So thank you, Queen.
Thank you.
Anybody
yeah,
else?
I look forward to listening to it again. I'll have
well,
to.
Well, yeah, it's going to get better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next week is even a little deeper, and then we're going to learn how to be an initiator of blessing the week after that. So we'll go into the new year with a goal, a resolution that we can fulfill.
Amen.
Oh, no.
Well, Vic.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Hey, Vicki, you know it's a good teaching when you have to go ouch and then amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Marcia. Yeah, thank you. It's good that we can see ourselves. You know, there are so many people in the world who can't see themselves. And that's all a part of coming into our true identity in God, is recognizing mm-hmm. what's not of Him.
Amen.
So, praise the Lord. Thank you, Marcia.
You're welcome. Good night to you.
Well, hang on for the blessing.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother and sister, for the teaching. Please forgive me, Lord Jesus. Oh, I've sinned in my past. Thank you for opening my eyes up, brother Phil. That's
Biggie.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Mitch.
It opened up my eyes,
Amen.
Too. I love this teaching. Thank you.
Praise God. He is good.
Yeah.
He is good. I want to remind everyone that Gretchen's going to have a powerful message on Friday night and Saturday night, it's Christmas night at 8:30, we will have our gathering of the Freedom's Way family on this phone line. The message is the same each year. It just gets more powerful, the greatest gift. So we will meet Saturday night, Christmas night, as the Freedom's Way family gathers, and again on Monday night for another one of these relational messages, developing godly relationships. Anybody else got something to say before Phil blesses us? If not,
Drum roll, please. Shield us, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping us grow up in you, Lord. What a privilege. We are so thankful. Seal this word in our hearts, Lord, so that we can exhibit your character in our relationships. This is a big one, Lord. Help us with it. Help us, Lord. Seal it in our hearts by your Spirit. We honor you tonight, Lord, and we thank you. Thank you for the hearts. Lord, I thank you for the hearts of the people on the line, that they are stayed and fixed on growing in you, being like you, and operating in what you have to offer, and forgetting not all your benefits. Hallelujah. So we are here, open and available, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Use us in your plans and purposes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping us. Lord, with your permission, I will bless your people as Aaron, the high priest of Israel, blessed the people of Israel in Numbers, the 6th chapter, known as the Aaronic benediction. I'll do it in Hebrew and in English. God bless you as you hear. Hallelujah. Yivarach Adonai. Ve'yishmarecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha ifunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha Ve'yishem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace, his peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing us in all the ways that you do, blessing your people. Thank you for your blessing. I ask you to seal it in our hearts, strengthen our walk, camp your angels around us this week as we travel and do what we do. Bless this. Make this a glorious Christmas for all your people. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives.
Bring us safely together
on Saturday night, on Christmas night. But thank you, Lord, for being with us and camping your angels around as we glorify and give you all the honor, all the glory. In all things, Lord, we lift you up on high in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God bless you one and all. We will be here in the morning, 7:15, for the King's Table. Friday night with Gretchen. Saturday night, Merry Christmas message. Monday morning and night. God bless you all.
God bless you.
Thank you. I receive it.
Merry Christmas, everyone. God bless.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Hallelujah.
Oh,
oh, oh. Merry Christmas. Bye. God bless.
Merry Christmas, all. Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
God bless.